Hare Krishna. Hare Nam Sankirtanya Kijaya. Sri Prabhupada Kijaya. Gaura Bhakta Vinda Kijaya. Vancha Kalpa Vinda Kijaya. Kripa Sindhu Vyeta Cha. Radhikanam Pavane Vyo Vashmai Vyo Narodha. I think that last mantra, Vancha Kalpa Thiruvya, the mantra which establishes the Vaishnavas as desire tree, wish-fulfilling desire tree. I guess that is the key to living with conflicts and differences of opinion. The key is found in spiritual relationships, in seeing and deeply respecting the Vaishnavas, and seeing the Vaishnavas for their true value. A Vaishnava is very rare. How many Vaishnavas are there in the world? We are here in London, and we feel that an overpowering presence of mundane people, and then there's a Vaishnava. When Garga Muni came to Nanda Maharaj in Gokul, Nanda Maharaj was very, very pleased. And Nanda Maharaj was saying, oh, a saintly person is very rare. A saintly person has come to my home. And he worshipped him. And he was truly very glad to have such a saintly person visiting his house. So this spirit is, of course, very central to our Vaishnava philosophy and understanding. And there we begin with Vancha Kalpa Thiruvya, seeing the Vaishnavas as wish-fulfilling desire trees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, trees are presented as being very tolerant. And no matter how they are treated, trees are always providing shade, fruits, and so on. Right? So Vaishnavas are like that, but they remain the well-wisher. They are suvidam sarvadeinam, the well-wisher of all living beings, because Krishna is the well-wisher of all living beings, and the Vaishnavas are the servants of Krishna. And naturally, they must also be the well-wisher of all living beings. If you serve Krishna, how can you go against what is important to Krishna? So suvidam sarvadeinam, the well-wisher of all living beings. So that has to be our premise. Now, reality is a little different. Reality is that we are conditioned. We're conditioned by the three modes of material nature. And it's due to that conditioning that we are facing difficulties. So we have the pure spiritual platform of praying. On that platform there is no conflict. Right? On that platform one doesn't experience any hindrance. On that level of Krishna praying, everything is perfect. That's the experience. And one sees everyone as a Vaishnava except himself. One is naturally worshipping every Vaishnava. So our topic of the day on the platform of praying would be looked upon as like, what? Conflicts and all these things. So we're going down where we're falling short in love. for Krishna, that is where such issues arise. Then we have another level, which is the level of sattva, the level of goodness. As devotees, we are sort of a bit in between these two. Because below sattva, we have other colors.
Cool. Black also. Great.
So, we have other colors that we can use for the other modes of material nature, passion, and ignorance. Okay. So, passion and ignorance are part of our life, although they are not supposedly to be part of spiritual life. Spiritual life should not go beyond sattva. Sattva is where we are acting according to the scripture. Sattva is where we're acting according to Vaishnava etiquette. Sattva is where we are trying to be embodiment of the scripture. That's our business. We go through two initiations. The first initiation is sambandha. We're making the connection with the sampradaya, and we basically cut our previous sinful life. So, no meat, fish, eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and we begin the chanting of the holy name. However, these influences may still be strong. Right? Then we are coming to the second initiation. Then we are meant to be situated in sattva. Brahmin, you know, of course, meant to be. Right? So this is our minimum level that we strive for, to maintain sattva gun. And sattva gun includes etiquette. It means, you know, passion and ignorance means that anything can come out of your mouth anytime. Right? I mean, all kinds of words, you know, that we will not repeat in this room, have passed over the lips of those who have been afflicted by passion and ignorance. What to say? Mum is the word, if you know what I'm talking about. So, okay, this sattva gun is our safety net. You know, this is the tightrope. Right? Who's up there? You know, this is the tightrope. Right? It is so tight, it is so high, and it is so narrow, this rope. But for one who is full of love for Krishna, the rope becomes as wide as a highway. He walks on there very easily. Because he really has no other interest. Conflicts arise when there is conflict of interests. We'll get back to this. Prabhupada gives the example of the stone that is thrown into the water, and that makes different circles. And then another stone, which is thrown elsewhere in that water, making other circles. And then they conflict. Yeah. So, here we have conflict. So if our common goal is the satisfaction of Krishna, if our common goal
is to execute the order of the spiritual master, then should there be conflict? Well, we can argue on how to distribute books. I mean, this place is useless. I mean, we just, like, you know, I experienced it. A Saturday morning, you know, it's like May morning, this devotee, he knows the perfect place, takes me there to get out of the car. No people. What's going on? No people, you know. What's this? Some sort of remote little small shopping center or something, tiny thing, with like no people on a Saturday. You know, so I was fried to the max. So okay, you know, we made a deal, once for me and once for you, right? Okay. And then I would, well, you know, so to wait 15 minutes, finally someone comes, you know, hit him up, right? And it's my turn. And the people go Alright. And then they say no. And then he comes up from behind, the other devotee, says, no, wait a minute, you don't understand. And he hypnotizes them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but he did it. And they take the book, you know. Boy, was I fried. And I said, I'm going somewhere else. This place is terrible. He said, well, I like it. So apparently, even when we are striving for the same goal, service of Krishna, then even then we see conflict seems possible. It seems quite possible. We have meetings, you know, like where it gets a little hot in the room, you know what I mean? I mean, that's ridiculous. I've been in such meetings, you know, like I was in Mayapur and years ago in a management meeting, and one of the leaders goes, well, we have a request here from the Bhakta program and they want more rooms. Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's ridiculous. We don't have any more rooms, you know what I mean? Yeah, you can't give them any rooms, you know? Just like people left to wait. What to do? Just can't join because we don't have any more rooms. Can give. So I said, well, I thought that Mayapur had the most rooms of all of ISKCON. So, oh, what do you mean? I mean, those are guest house rooms. I said, I see. It's more important to make a buck than to make a bhakta. Well, then, you know, fire and brimstone. 2 hours later, the volcanic eruptions gradually began to diminish. And as such, you know, so many conflicts have arisen. We have seen fist fights, you know. And I saw the small, skinny little Mataji strangle the fat one. I didn't know. Honestly speaking, I was impressed. No, but so, these are all true stories, by the way. But I've seen deeper conflicts. I've seen conflicts on doctrine. I have seen Vaishnavas become divided over doctrine, over interpretations of the philosophy on an understanding. And I've seen great separation come about between Vaishnavas. where one group of Vaishnava even called the police on the other group of Vaishnavas. It's like difficult matters. Difficult matters. Maybe not so difficult, you know. Well, call the Yolanda, call the cops to me. Yeah, just call them, right? Anybody can pull the phone these days. But still, in hindsight, they look like, is this the way? Is this the way? So, between Vaishnavas, nothing is ever ordinary. Yeah. There's no ordinary dealings. Yeah. In ordinary dealings between devotees, no, start again. There are no ordinary dealings between devotees. It's never ordinary. It is always special, always precious. And therefore, no Vaishnava should be taken cheaply. See, amongst materialists, you know, like me, you can just tell someone, look, I'm sick of your face, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I wouldn't mind if I would never see you again, you know what I mean? It's like, we'd be really good if you could just dissolve, you know? All right. And say some other friendly words to a person, you know, to make him feel miserable. In material life, sometimes we do these things and we feel very satisfied about it, you know. It's like sort of, got that off my chest, you know. I mean, the truth sets you free type of approach. But amongst Vaishnavas, no. You have to always remember that if I burn out this relationship, that's one less person to turn to. So one important point is, you know, on this right here, but don't put issues over relationships. That is a very important point. It's a work of art. I'll sign it with you. Don't put issues over relationships in the sense, sometimes it may be that the issue is inevitable. Say we have someone, we deal with Ritvik philosophy, right? What can we do? It's a wrong interpretation of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. I mean, Srila Prabhupada clearly said in his final days, again and again to several devotees, everything is in my books, and that you don't find in his books. So, it's a twist of the philosophy. So now you're talking about an issue which is no longer just a personal issue. Now you're talking about an issue which is kind of, well, you know, it's affecting the purity of the teachings that we represent. All right, so the issue may have to have prevalence in that case, but not that we just ignore the relationship. Even then, we should still deal in a way that we are careful about the relationship. That's how important this advice now. Still, you can never leave out the relationship because you're dealing with a Vaishnava. Right? He may be a bewildered Vaishnava. He may sort of got it philosophically wrong Vaishnava, but still, they're also devotees. They're not just materialists who are out for, out to live a life of sin and sense gratification. They're also trying to live a life dedicated to Krishna. Maybe, okay, philosophically not right. So at this point, don't put issues over relationships is sort of a rule of thumb that can that helps a lot. Because conflicts will arise. Right? It's like we... and especially see amongst... we have Vaishnava etiquette, so you have amongst senior, junior, well, you know, at one point the junior is supposed to sort of take a step back.
Right.
But amongst peers, you know what I mean? I mean, you can find so many issues to disagree about. And in service, we got to do it like this. We got to do it like that. In the 80s, I had a dream. And in this dream, I had a dream of Prabhupada. And in this dream, Prabhupada was very large, huge. His head was touching the clouds. His aristocratic demeanor. Prabhupada was walking. And there were even clouds, even some thunder, but it didn't affect him at all. And he just walked and just undisturbed, blissful. Then, as I looked down a bit, I saw that in the front of his cloth, he had a pocket. And that in that pocket, there were the leaders of ISKCON at that time. And they're looking over the edge of the pocket, you know. So, let's see, Prabhupada. And all the leaders were like,
oh. You can't blame me because it was a dream. No, it's like, nothing to do with me.
Anyway, then the leaders were arguing with each other, you know. No, we should go this way. No, do it. I don't get wrong. No, we should do it like that. No.
Prabhupada was sometimes benevolently looking down, carrying on.
Anyway, no purport to this dream.
So I won't get myself in hot water, but just so you get an idea, though.
Difference of opinion is part of the history of our movement. It sometimes has become very strong, and especially in the earlier days, devotees and leaders didn't know how to deal with that. They didn't know how to deal with it. If we look at the dealings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, well, then we see many interesting things, like for example, there is a passage where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri and he wants to go to Vrindavan. So his caretakers, Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, they are both coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they begin to explain that actually now it is a very difficult time to travel. Very difficult. I mean, you know, it's a very long distance. It's not safe. First of all, the political situation is not very good. But leaving that aside, you know, although that is a point, it's soon the rainy season will start. And then if you walk that whole way through the rainy season, the sadhus don't travel during the rainy season. They stay in one place. So better you stay here until after the rainy season, you know, until the rainy season is well gone, and you take a little extra time to make sure it's over, and then you go. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested like that, although it was his desire, very strong desire to go, but they strongly used arguments and many more, trying to convince him to stay.
So, because they put so much pressure, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally agreed, okay, all right, I will stay. And then the time passed, and some more time even passed, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still didn't go to Vrindavan. Then one day Mahaprabhu expressed that he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And he said, I want to go to Vrindavan. And then he said, but you have told me not to go. So I didn't go. So then for the second time they couldn't say anything because they were obliged, you see. He had adjusted for their satisfaction. And he had adjusted his plans to satisfy them. Therefore, they had now become indebted. And therefore, now, in turn, they had to let him have his way. And there was nothing they could do. Then Mahaprabhu left and went to Vrindavan. So if we see like the refinement of dealings in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we begin to understand how Vaishnavas always in relationship work on the principle of being mutually indebted, recognizing debts, recognizing how we have something to repay to others. It's a fact, you see. It's like, well, you know, sometimes if you look at the Brahmachari ashram, right, the Brahmachari ashram is a collective, right? It is a communal effort in a Brahmachari, right? It's like you don't get a thing of one Brahmachari on his own. That's not like Brahmachari ashram. Brahmachari ashram is usually packed, is usually no space, sitting right on top of each other's lip all the time, right? And it's like, you know, in Bari Place, the famous shower in Bari Place. I went to Bari Place to that shower, and I remember that they were very fired up about giving you 30 seconds, right? And if you want to soap, you soap in before, right? You take a little water from the sink and you put all the soap before. So soap up before. Then, right, you jump under, right? You jump under, and in that way, you know, okay, 30 seconds, right? And you can bathe from head to toe, no worries, and dry outside the shower, right? Basically. I mean, that was the standard. And And one after the other, like, next, you know, next. Oh yeah, it was cold. So that helped to make the showers a bit shorter. One bhakta, he even smelled when he came from under the shower, and he finally realized that he was squeezing himself against the wall and then making noises. But the water never hit his body. What to say? So the Brahmachari ashram is a communal effort, and we very much do things together, everything. And it's like, together we create an ashram. Right? It's together that, like, you create that strength, that momentum. Alone, where is the strength? But when, like, 20 guys are getting up early in the morning, well, if one day 19 guys get up early in the morning, then the one who doesn't sort of feels like, well, I guess I should get up. I should really, like, of course, you can try the I am sick, you know, but how often can you do the I am sick trick, you know? Sort of like, so in that way, the peer pressure, the group creates certain dynamics. We're indebted to the group. It's that group that makes us behave above our natural level. Alone, we wouldn't fare so well. Right? So, in so many ways, we are indebted to the group, even if the group as a whole is not really actively doing so much for us. You know, even if someone never talks to you, you may sometimes have that. You live in a group, and with someone you're a bit closer, and with others you may have, at best, have a Haribo relationship.
Haribo.
Haribo. After 5 years, Haribo. And it never gets further than Haribo. So I call them Haribo relationships. What to do? So this mutual indebtedness is something that's very important. Because the more we have a sense of indebtedness, the more we can value people and value what they say and value their opinions. And once that's there, you know. But if I start off with my normal conditioned state of consciousness and I look at someone and think, who is this guy, and what does he know anyway, you know what I mean? Let's be real, you know, what does the guy know? You know, I mean, honestly speaking, he joined even after me. I'm not claiming that I'm great and learned, so then again, what can he claim, you know what I mean? One can look like that, right? But no, we may not be great scholars, we may not be so exalted, but somehow or other we all made a commitment, and it's that common commitment, you know, that is actually not insignificant. That's where the debt kicks in. The commitment of others, we must see. Devotees' commitments. We cannot just look at character, you know. This particular person, what can he do? You know, he's got like a few screws that are not totally tight, and it's just, you know, it's a case. Maybe, you know, maybe, but that will be purified in due course of time. But he made a commitment. He's here, you know. So we don't just look at the false ego. We look at the commitment. So let's go to the next page. Write some words down on the board again. Because I think we just had two keywords. Commitment is one. And another one was false ego. The most difficult thing is to tolerate the false ego of the devotee. You know what I mean? The false ego of the devotees. And the thing is, you know, I mean, in our movement, we don't have much appreciation for false ego. Yeah, it's just one of those things. You know, we're down on Mayavadis and on false egos. Right? So when you see it, boo, that's false ego. Come on, don't be on the false ego platform. this is difficult. See, if you
say you tolerate, if you have to tolerate someone's nature, but he's Krishna conscious at the same time, okay, then it's doable. We have natures, you know. Someone gets up out of bed in the morning and goes to the sink and positions himself in front of it. Then, he gurgles, you know, scrapes his tongue for 10 minutes, you know, like, is he going to have any tongue left? How much can you scrape? Anyway, you know, we had one, and he's like just hours in the bathroom, and his name was Raghunath Bhatta, and we used to call him Raghunath Bathroom. What can I say? Oh gosh, yeah. Raghunath Bathroom, man. There he is, you know. Excuse me, Prabhu, could I get a little water, maybe? You know, you've got to get around him to brush your teeth, right? Because he's blocking the sink. So, little things like that can sort of get to you after a while, you know. Especially when you've got big muscles and lots of tattoos, then, you know.
Well,
yeah, so anyway, matters of false ego. So we have natures, right? We have natures, and some people, we have prakritis, right? We have vata, pitta, and kapha people. Different constitutions. And vata people are like really like kind of nervous types, and they move fast, and they look everywhere, and they kind of talk to anybody all the damn time. And I even they also like to meet you.
Oh, kapha people. They come into the room.
The lamp falls off the ceiling.
and
they need to build up momentum, you know. And then they go, right? So, not that kapha people are always slow, but, you know, they're not like the quickest out of the start blocks, you know. Pitta people are a bit fiery, and they already start like straight from the morning, you know, like as soon as they open their eyes, they're already thinking, what do I want to achieve today? Yeah. I've got 7 points I want to achieve today. I'm full of another one. That's last night, you know, just as I was dreaming, so I've got 8 points now. And I don't have to 8 points today, right? Okay, yeah. I've like, got no time to lose, you know, hurry up, I've got this, kapha guys again. So, there are vata, pitta, kapha dynamics, right? It's like the vata people, they're more like the sprinters, you know? The kaphas are the marathon runners, right? The pitas are sort of in between, but they want to be the leaders, right? The pitta guys want to be the leaders, and they are very fired up, and they're leaders by being more fired up than everybody else, you know? Like, I mean, are you fired up? You know, they get more energy from being more fired up than others, right? But everyone behind them gets like tired. So, what do you do when your leader is suffering from false ego? What do you do? I came in the office, and the temple president said, "Sit down." Thank you. I sat down,
on the other side of the, you know, of the desk, and he goes, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Because I used to sit in that chair. But now I'm sitting in this chair. And I know what you're thinking. I said, you want to sit in my chair. And I told him, you know what, Prabhu? You can have both chairs. What to do? Right? It was just, it had come to a point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I left that temple. Now that was a drastic decision, because that's one temple off the map. One temple off the map of my spiritual life. Yeah? So, you know, I have a like, yeah, here it is, the world map of my spiritual life. All these facilities, all these places, and it's like one cross. Boom. It's like kind of shocked. Jeez, what did I do, you know? I crossed out one temple of the map of my spiritual life. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? So with all of this, I have thrown a few things at you. How we are, on the one hand, appreciating the commitment of devotees. On the other hand, we have to endure false ego within our own ranks, which is difficult. It even exists sometimes in our leaders. Then we have different natures, and just some of these natures just seem to conflict. So after this whole cocktail is here right in front of you, I'm going to ask you some questions. And it's a simple question, maybe. But my question is, looking at all this, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to find a way to balance all this, a solution for all this? How are we going to avoid conflict? Not all together. Don't jump off your seats now. Okay, hold back. You know, not too quick. Yes, Ganesh. Yes, loud and clear, like usual.
Two things, Maharaj. One thing, you choose one authority at least, say Guru. Whatever he's saying, you follow that thing. And if all three things fall into that, you follow it.
And my Guru Maharaj has said that, you know, hell and high water, I must go to Mongolaji. And anybody who doesn't go to Mongolaji is a Mongol. And you know, we went to bed last night at 1:13, but I was up at 4:13 this morning at Tomongawadi, and I was the only one there, you know. Ugh, they're all in Maya. But I follow my Guru Maharaj.
Thank you.
Yes. If you develop humility and knowledge, so if you have knowledge on everyone's different nature, and that people do have false ego, but if you're humble about it, you have to deal with them properly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's like lots of false ego and then humility.
I'm sorry, you know, please forgive me to bring it up, but possibly there might be some false ego, you know.
Yeah, please.
Is it something to do with tolerance?
Tolerance.
And
I'm thinking about it, but possibly something to do with tolerance. Yes.
Tolerance and maybe gratitude, so like
tolerance, gratitude. So let's write again. Well, we already have a list here. I'll jump to the next page. We have humility, knowledge, tolerance,
aiming at Guru, so.
Hare
Krishna to you too. Yeah, you will.
And because our mind is always like so turbulent, we can't always control these forces that make offenses as devotees, so I think we must instead serve the devotees so the force is no longer there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhu. Can't stand you, but I'm going to serve you, all right? Why don't you just let me serve you? Oh, shit. Can't you see I'm trying to serve you?
Sorry,
oh, no, I shouldn't have said it, should I? Assuming that they're not the doer, then the question is, if this is just something coming through them and Krishna's doing it or something like that, then what's the lesson I can learn? Why is this being done to me? And how can I reframe that to kind of deal with the situation?
Yeah.
Self-reflective. Okay. And how would you just put it in one word? I mean, I'm trying to make a really brainstorm list for one word.
Has anyone got any ideas? Introspective.
Introspective.
Yeah.
Good. There you go. Yeah, let's brainstorm a bit more.
We should pray because it's very hard to do something and then endeavor.
Pray. Yep. Good.
Similar much pray and
double pray.
Chant.
Yes.
Always remember put Krishna at the center.
Put Krishna at the center. Okay, Krishna.
Taking shelter of the scriptures.
I just write scriptures, and
yeah.
Compromise.
Boo.
Defining the roles of the individuals.
Rules, eh?
The roles.
Roles,
yeah,
roles,
and separating everyone in their different duties.
Defining roles.
Patience, as in.
Okay, I can stick that here in between. Patience.
Seeing the positive in the person.
Basic page is filling up. Seeing the positive.
That no one is perfect. That or everyone is trying. As in everyone's bound to the 3 months of nature, and we should kind of appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's maybe the same, you know?
Yeah.
It's quite a list, huh? I mean, you solved it. In many ways. But then again, it's not so easy. I guess, if I may, you'll put one on, if I may put one on. I'm going to put on. I'm going to put it at the bottom. Those who sit in the back will have to stand up to see it. Forgive. That's the one I'm going to put up. You know, this forgiveness thing, it's sometimes said that of all the qualities of the Brahmana, the first and foremost quality is Kshama, forgiveness. That's the first quality, Kshama. I can Yeah, so this forgiveness, this ksama, is, well, that's something to cultivate. And, yeah, earlier on, you know, when we were looking at the previous page, we were speaking about gratitude. When we spoke about the commitment, we just discussed the community benefits that we're getting and how we're, right? Even if you have a Haribol relationship with someone, still, you know, you're actually together, doing it together. Right? We're here like with in the manor, we're doing it together in the Hare Krishna movement, we're all together. And it is like really nice to, when you are somewhere out on the street or by yourself, and suddenly out of nowhere, someone you don't know comes Vanchakar with Rubia. Right? It happens sometimes that the devotee comes, you know, and like sort of walks up to you, puts his hand on your shoulder and says, Vanchakar with Rubia Chow. It is so appreciation, gratitude was a beginning for a willingness to change. Okay, you know, like in following the guru, I'm doing my duty. Strongly a sense of duty. I'm following my guru. But still, I think more important than just on the surface keeping peace is to that maybe we will be able to do just because of social pressure, you know. It's like you can't really go beyond certain limits in a social setting. Yeah. That we may be able to do. But the bigger problem that arises is that we start to keep resentment within. We start to within actually gradually feel that this person hasn't treated me so nicely, and therefore, you know, gradually our opinion about this devotee really diminishes, and we have a reason. We have reasons for it, you know, good reasons. No, really, genuine, good reasons, Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Honestly speaking, very serious. Hand on the Bhagavad Gita, you know what I mean? It goes deep, in other words. And when it goes deep, this feeling of resentment, yeah, that kind of breaks our bond with the devotees. And that breaks, you know, just like I crossed one temple off my spiritual map. Well, what if I cross off one bond with a devotee of my spiritual map? Yeah. It's like all these things sustain me, right? I mean, we are devotees because we are sustained by so many things. So many things are sustaining us. So to just write things off, write people off, even internally, right? Without an official declaration, but just in the mind, from, well, this guy, you know, I know what he's really like, because in 1912, you know, what he did to me, that showed his true colors. Yeah. So when we come to ksama, to forgiveness, right, Tolerance is when we are, we accept everything, we let it all happen, but I don't know if it will save us from resentment. Because it's still, because we still feel the guy is a pain, you know. I've been tolerating him now for the last 30 years. Yeah. Yeah. And it's sort of like, gosh, you know. So to tolerate, of course, when one tolerates on a very deep level, yes, then there is no resentment. But you can see like how forgiveness is very important, because it sort of, it deals with resentment, to get rid of the resentment. Mm. Where the conflict continues on the inner level. Right? On externally, everything is sweet, Prabhus. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Jai. It's like everything nice, you know. It's like everything Vaishnav and so on. But what about resentment within the heart? But sometimes I felt treated a little unfairly over the years by some. Yeah, I didn't think everybody was always reasonable and nice to me. And so how to get over it? How to forgive? That's my next question. How to really forgive? It's easy to say, okay, I'll forgive. But how to actually forgive? See? Yeah, I forgive that you took my sleeping bag in 19. I forgive you. It was a good sleeping bag. But I forgive you. I'm sure you needed it. Well, because I was a bit cold, you know. After that. My heart became a bit cold as well. But I forgive. So how to really forgive? That's maybe another question I have.
In order to see one's... in order to let go one's bad sides, qualities, one must see the good ones. And coming back to my previous point, by serving a devotee, for example, you can feel in your mind that... this devotee doesn't treat you right, etc. But if you just sincerely try to serve him anyway, and you see his reaction, that he's pleased, and you see there's a conversation going on maybe, and you get familiar with him, like on an internal level, and you see his good sides. So when you see his good sides, you have more space for something more good and good to come in, and you can eventually let go of the mistakes that you think that person did.
Yeah. If we want to forgive, we have to look first of all inside ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, like, why do I actually have a problem with this devotee? Is it really so bad, or is it me having a problem? And see first of all our own faults.
Introspection.
Seeing the benefits of the abuse you got. Abuse is a harsh word, but seeing how you needed that, and it humbled you, or with some past karma, and that you, either it was him or it was going to be someone else.
I think first thing is to be honest and say I love this person and I don't love them. But someone might. In fact, someone does. Krishna does. So how can I kind of try and see it from Krishna's point of view?
I think I like that. You know, I think that's cool. I'm going to write it down. To see from, I mean, you know, not that I didn't like the other ones, but to see from Krishna's point of view is a big thing, because, you know, so
I definitely think I'm going to add that on to see. Krishna's point of view. Yeah, I think that's always good to try and see from Krishna's point of view. You can't go wrong with that, you know, in terms of right. That sort of Chatusloki Bhagavatam, you know, like Rite Ritam Yat Pratyet and Pratyet Chatmani, that you see the value of something by how it relates to Krishna. So that's like see from Krishna's point of view. So that's Chatusloki Bhagavatam.
Do you forget it because you never want to hold it against them again? So say if another occurrence comes, then you don't want to be like, you know, I forgive you, and then suddenly bring it up again, so you sort of forget it, and like, it's Krishna's business to remember what they did and what they did.
Yeah. Is forgiving and forgetting the same? I don't know. Just thinking. Okay, you decide who's first. You decide who's first.
Me.
Does everyone agree?
No, yes.
No. Okay, those who don't agree, you know. Why not? Why not?
Don't know.
He doesn't know why, but he just doesn't agree.
Yeah, okay.
And what do you think about that?
I'm under him. Who knows that? I just say,
He steamrolls right over you.
I remember in one lecture you gave quite a while back, forgive and forget came up. An example was given of someone may steal, you forgive them, but you don't make them in charge of then the Treasury Department again. So you have forgave them, but you don't forget that they have got a tendency to steal.
I have noticed that when you have a service, you're doing service together with devotees, such amazing relationships develop. Or when you're you don't have a common goal, false goals always comes up. But the same person that may have conflict with, we're doing service together and we're developing amazing relationships. Once the service is over, that's it. It goes back to how it was before. So this is what I noticed. If there's a common goal, if everyone's serving towards that goal, then amazing things happen.
Yeah. I like that also. You can also comment on each other to make it more interactive. So everyone can comment on each other.
Thank you so much. First thing, we have to acknowledge that this is material world, and there will be always this problem. And if that problem is coming during your japa next day, that means you're thinking about the problem more than Krishna. So you have to think, is that thing was so big that you have to think about it rather than thinking about Krishna? Then I personally say, okay, leave that thing behind, but more important thing is Krishna. Then in the longer term, I see that I don't even remember what things had happened and kind of thing. But yes, the memory does remember sometimes.
Sorry, can we take those boxes?
But then you say there is a difference between forgiving and forgetting. Forgetting, it's up to Krishna, he gets a remembrance and all this thing. Forgiveness, we can do if we make a parallel move, which is more important, Krishna.
What do you think?
What do you think?
That's right. I'm thinking of milking the cow.
Like, you know what Ganesh said, that we forgive, but then that person, you know, obviously we're not trying to like have any resentment in our heart, but for whatever they did do, then we do have some understanding of that person's nature, which will inform our dealings with that person in the future, if we don't necessarily resent them all, because we can't just have a clean slate.
Yeah.
So, but like you said about the treasure, okay, you know, it's cool, whatever's done is done, but I'm not going to put it in the treasure again, you know, so. Not out of hate, but out of just reality.
Yeah.
Of who you are.
I also think so. It's like I've learned over the years that I like to serve with devotees who have a similar vision. You know, I mean, I may bow down 100 times to the feet of the Vaishnavas, but if they have a different vision from me, it's going to be painful. Yeah? It's like that situation about the rooms for the Bhakta program. Mm. You know, it's like just different vision, right? And it was just a painful relationship I had with that person. And I felt that... So ultimately, even amongst devotees, we will respect everyone, but we'll be closer with some, you know, more intimate with some, and be more distant with others, and we'll naturally be more close to people who are more like-minded, if we can choose, you know. Sometimes you may have to work with someone who is very different natured, but for the common interest of Prabhupada, the movement, we work together. And as you say, sometimes we work together on issues, you know. Like I also have some things where I can work together with some devotees, but on other matters I have totally different vision, totally different point of view. And that will never change, right? Because what can you do? There are different natures, and Krishna consciousness also includes some interpretation, like... For example, well, I'm from the Netherlands, and therefore I'm individualistic, right? Like, in the Netherlands, we don't have school uniforms, and we'll never wear a uniform, right? It's like something Dutch people don't do. We go on strike, you know, when it comes to that, right? They just go on strike. No way. All the kids in the country would go on strike for the school uniform. So very individualistic people, and I have that kind of liberal, right? To maybe sometimes to an extreme. I'm also quite liberal in many ways, and so we bring with us some karma, some conditioning. I don't know if it was my karma that I took birth in the Netherlands and I already had these qualities, or if I just picked it up by growing up there, so whatever. But I had these qualities, and the conditioning creates differences and difference in vision, and you have. So that will create some conflict. You know, you have the devotees who believe in systems, and you have the devotees who believe in, like, in people and in adjusting to the people. You have those who believe in the organic development, which is more like the people approach, and those who believe in the umbrella structures. Right? and it's like make huge structures and boxes and every you know, and it's like it all has its place. You can't just, in the bigger picture, it all has its place. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it suits our nature. Right? It's like when there are too many boxes, then I kind of feel like, well, I want to get out of here because this doesn't leave me any space to sort of develop anything spontaneously. Everything is already boxed in. Yeah. On the other hand, you know, if things are very spontaneous, you might say things are so spontaneous and there's just not any structure with deeper thought behind it all. Right? It's if we think things through and make a proper well-thought system, then we might achieve so much more. So we have natures, and according to our natures we find a place. And with that, I want to quote the Beatles, if you don't mind, who said, "It doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right. Where I belong, I'm right." And I kind of like that. I mean, that statement, because it doesn't matter that I'm wrong or right. Where I belong, I'm right. Now, I'm talking within Krishna consciousness, obviously. Within the within the boundaries of Krishna consciousness. But that within this movement, we can find a place. We can find a place where we fit with people that are also have similar interests. That's very inspiring, obviously. And if you work with people, every time you have an idea, it's useless. And it's again like, you know, they never appreciate your ideas after a while. So conflict may also arise by differences without any confrontation, but just in different interests and in different natures, and yeah, how you just don't become enthused by being with certain people. And they may be completely dedicated to Prabhupada, his mission, and so on. So therefore I say it's like somewhere along the line, it's also natural to work with people that are inspired in the same way to serve Prabhupada and Krishna. It's now about 5 o'clock approaching, which is sort of that break time. Take a little break. Yeah, so then, and it gives you 10 minutes to think. And then, in 10 minutes, you come back and you tell me, where do you think this whole presentation should be going? Where should it go from here? Are we just going to waffle the whole time? Or what? You know? You've made a list. You showed some dynamics. We've put down a rule of thumb. Don't put issues over relationships. And we pointed out that there is no conflict on the level of Krishna Prem, and that we stay in between Krishna Prem and Sattva Gun in our spiritual life, ideally speaking. And whatever is there from passion and ignorance, it's got to go. Those are problems. Those are problems we have, or others have. We've got to stay between these two. So in that way, I gave some framework. Where should it go now? In one word. When we come back. Okay, 10 minutes. See you soon.